Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you have time to be able to spend with me as we go on in a message I began a few days ago on understanding spiritual warfare. I felt led of the Lord to share this. As I say, from time to time, God just impresses upon me specific subjects because it's important we understand the whole counsel of God, and the whole counsel of God, the Word of God, covers everything that pertains to life and godliness. So whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's our spiritual walk with the Lord, our relationships with one another, our relationships with the world and the unsaved, God's Word has something to tell us in every one of these areas. And so even though some of you listening may have been walking with the Lord for many decades and you're well versed in spiritual warfare, it's always good to have a review, and we have to understand God is always birthing new babes into the body of Christ. And so it's, we can never tire or never get weary of hearing the Word of God or feel at any time that we have arrived, that we have a command and full understanding of any subject. Why? Because the Word says, "Him to he that thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall." So let us always be as little children, eager to learn and understand the greater revelation and understanding that the Spirit of the Lord would give us on any particular subject. And because of the times in which we're living, beloved, we're living in very critical times. Our nation is in a very serious state. We have turned from God, and beloved, we are reaping the whirlwind. And so, beloved, as God's people, we have to stand strong in a knowledge of the Lord and what He expects of us. It was His choice, beloved. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'd rather would have perhaps chosen another time in which to live when things were a little more peaceful. Even the early years, for those of us who are up in years, we can remember what it was like in the 40s and the 50s. And it wasn't until the 60s that things started happening and there was that release of demonic power and influence. You know, I basically came to maturity, grew up in the 60s, the hippie generation. I was a student at the University of California in Berkeley during that time. And so that was, but we can remember a time before the internet, before cell phones, when black and white television was barely coming out, that our society was quite different than it is today. And so, beloved, that's just one of the signs of the end times in which we're living, that there's been such a drastic change in ethics, in morals, in the very culture of our nation because of choices that have been made not only by our leaders, but by, let's be honest, the negligence of the body of Christ. That scripture we just can't get away from, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the healing of the nation, beloved, rests on our shoulders. Are we willing to do what God asks of us? Are we willing to seek God with a whole heart? And so, beloved, that's one, some of the reasons I'm sharing this message on spiritual warfare. And what I'm going to begin today is to share four major ways in which the devil attacks and robs so many Christians of their victorious life in Christ. There are many other ways that I could list, but if we just look at these four basic principles that the devil uses against Christians, I believe then other ways will be easily recognized on a day-to-day basis. So, first of all, Satan will come against believers with sometimes overwhelming thoughts, tremendous thoughts of doubt as to their relationship to the Lord. And this is true with new believers, but beloved, even those who have walked with the Lord, there have been times in my life I've really questioned, am I saved? And I've been ministering the gospel. Beloved, none of us are exempt from that. We can question where we stand with the Lord. As he did with Eve in the garden, so he does with a Christian. He tries immediately to implant the minute seed of doubt as to the veracity of God's word. It'll be subtle, but very persistent. And that thought will grow larger and become more intense as he tries to make us doubt whether there is anything to this thing called salvation. Now, the new convert, caught up in the ecstasy of his experience in the Lord, is very hard to reach with these ideas. I don't know what your experience was like, but it seems that for many, there's like a honeymoon period where everything is wonderful. I remember witnessing to family. It was like that which I had sought for years, I finally found in Jesus. I was so excited. But after a few months, that's when serious warfare began. Satan tries in every way possible to make us doubt God's salvation in our lives. Seeing the new convert boldly holding on to the promise of salvation and having experienced the new birth, Satan will then begin to attack the thoughts of the individual, bringing up all manner of things from the past. He drags up things that have long been forgotten, but when he does, they are amplified so out of proportion that these thoughts are devastating. And if yielded to, the person then begins to count himself so unworthy of God's salvation. He feels just like giving up. And sometimes, and I've known people that have walked with the Lord for a length of time, and yet they are bound by guilt and condemnation from the things they did in the past. The devil tells them that they're not worthy of God's glorious gift, and he continues his insidious attack until that person in defeat just wants to turn away from God and just quits. Sometimes he's successful in that. Beloved, as I said, we have a serious adversary, and you may have known people that started out really wonderfully in a walk with Jesus, and then things started happening. They threw up their hands. They basically said, there's nothing to this, and they went back into the world. There are so many. In fact, there are some that are like yo-yo Christians. I'm telling you, it's so sad to see the enemy has not been able to release. They haven't extricated themselves from the talons, the hold the enemy has placed upon their minds and upon their lives. And of course, there are numbers of individuals who don't give up. I didn't give up, otherwise I wouldn't be on this broadcast preaching to you. But because of those continual attacks by Satan, Christians can live a life that's so defeated they barely keep going. I mean, I'm thinking of a brother right now that he constantly prays for his salvation and that of his family. Well, he's walked with the Lord for years that I've known him, and yet he does not have that victory in totally believing that his relationship in the Lord is secure. That's why I'm saying it doesn't matter how old we are, how long we serve the Lord, unless we're aware, unless we are wise to Satan's devices. That's why the word says, be not ignorant of his devices. He will continue to defeat us. Nothing, beloved, is more sinister. Nothing is more debilitating than one's thoughts continuously being on negative things. Why? Well, our thoughts affect our confession. And our confession, what we believe in our heart, what we declare with our mouth, determines the measure of victory we have as Christians. No one, I'm telling you, beloved, no one can continually confess negative things and then live a positive life of victory and overcoming power. It just doesn't work. That's why Satan attacks our minds the very first thing. And it would be impossible to list the many ways in which he worked in this area, but they all bring about the same results, a defeated life. That's why the words tells us we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, beloved, that's one of the first ways he works, is to undermine our relationship with the Lord, to make us feel insecure, to make us feel unworthy, to make us doubt the work that God has done in our lives. All right, let's move on to a second major way. When his attempts, the work of the devil, he fails in subjugating our mind, even though he may be able to practically paralyze that person mentally in some ways, what does he begin then? He begins to attack the written word. He again comes through the channel of the mind. But this time, it isn't to impart self-doubt about our relationship with the Lord or our life, but it's to instill doubt concerning what God has said in his written word. Satan will try to pull out of context various verses which seemingly contradict one another. Thus, he says, this proves the Bible is just another book. Then he attempts to instill a mistrust in everything that is contained in the Bible. Well, I know God's word says, by his stripes we are healed, but I don't experience healing, or we prayed for so-and-so, the whole church did, and they died. He thinks of all kinds of things. He's thorough and systematic in his approach. Everything is so plausible. And if we try to intellectualize the Bible without having experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it will seem in many instances to be the work of men and not God. Well, beloved, I see my time has just flown by, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. There's so much I want to share with you, and I feel this is a very timely message. We need to get these things so implanted in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, that we will not give place to the devil. Beloved, I love you. That's why I take the time on these broadcasts. I'm taking a lot of time to share this because I feel if there's ever a time we need to be not ignorant of Satan's devices, it's the hour in which we are now living. Beloved, I love you. I invite you to share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. If the Holy Spirit is moving on you, don't turn that prompting away, but obey. He's got a reason for doing it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, yeah.